The deaths of four women in 4 days have again put Australia's domestic and family violence crisis in the spotlight, with renewed calls for stronger action. But experts say there is another challenge, and that is we're still missing critical data about how violence escalates, what the systemic failures are, and which interventions are actually preventing deaths. Molly Dragovits is Professor of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Griffith University, who focuses on domestic and sexual violence, and joins me now. And Molly, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.
You used to work on a domestic violence death review in Queensland. Can you explain what these death reviews are and why you see them as a vital source of information when it comes to understanding and trying to prevent domestic and family violence?
Domestic and family violence death reviews are the single best source of accurate and comprehensive information about domestic violence available to us. And that's simply because they identify more of the actual cases. A higher percentage of deaths are detected than less serious types of domestic and family violence. And there's simply more information available due to the high amount of powers that coroners have to request information from different agencies.
Are we still getting the availability, the access to these kinds of reviews now?
My understanding is that a lot of the death review committees across Australia are suffering from a lack of resourcing. Often the domestic and family violence death reviews only have like 2 to 4 staff members to review a massive amount of information. So often they're under-resourced. And then also the committee membership in many of these death reviews lacks the most qualified experts. That's staff from domestic violence specialist services who are best placed to make recommendations for prevention.
What sort of data gap is created if those death reviews are not there or not there in the depth that's needed in your view?
Since the death reviews are the most comprehensive source of information we have, it can create a really misleading impression about the nature and distribution of domestic and family violence and how it escalates. And without the input from non-government agencies participating on those committees, we can lose the information about what are pragmatic ways to intervene when domestic violence is detected or reported and how to fill the service gaps.
Well, in the deaths that you reviewed through your work, what do you see as the most significant systemic failures in this area at the moment?
I think the most significant systemic failures are simply around not constraining the behavior of abusers. We continue to put a lot of responsibility on victims to do the right thing and report and seek services, but often those services are not adequately funded, so they can't get help in a timely manner. They can't get emergency or stable housing because the costs are so expensive and the refuges are full. So I think it's a question of providing the essential services so that people are able to escape safely when they're able and be supported by courts and other systems from the abuse that's actually happening and actually addressing the behavior of the abusers.
Queensland's latest state budget revealed a $40 million cut from the state's domestic and family violence prevention program. Many frontline services in other states say they're facing chronic long-term underfunding and long waiting lists. In your view, what risk does this pose to women and girls around the country?
Yeah, well, obviously, long waiting lists and the inability to provide services immediately really escalates the risk. We know that the risk of lethal and very serious domestic and family violence really escalates for women and children at the time of help seeking or separation. So it's really important to provide those services because by the time people reach out for help, it's already at a very high serious level.
Molly Dragovits, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.